So welcome to the call. Here we are once again. It's just incredible how fast everything happens. Another couple of weeks has just vanished, and here we are once again. So let's just take a few breaths, just be aware of the wonders of life. Taking a few deep breaths, literally just breathing in, consciously breathing in very deeply through your nose. All the way in, filling up your lungs, taking the deepest breath you've taken in the last year. Just holding that for a moment, filling yourself with that beautiful oxygen and letting it all go. Most of the time we're not breathing properly. If we're feeling in any way anxious or stressed out, we stop breathing. So let's make sure we breathe properly right now. Breathing all the way in, holding the breath, and letting it go. I'm just going to breathe for another couple of minutes. Just really enjoying that breath. And as you breathe in this time, just allow the spiritual sun, the divine light, God's light, to fill you up. Just imagine there is a pure beam of peaceful light coming into your being as you breathe in, filling you up, and as you breathe out, just letting go of any old stagnant energy. And really do this consciously. Just let go of any old energy as you breathe out. And as you breathe in, just imagine there is pure white light filling all your cells with pure peace. So tingling light as you breathe in. And as you let go, dropping down, letting go, and releasing. Ah, well done. So we can, of course, carry that going throughout the call. It only takes a moment. So welcome to the call. Welcome for being here. Well done for showing up, being willing to face yourself and go to the next level. So I just wanted to just share a few thoughts with you, then I'm very happy to hear your thoughts and feelings and your questions, whatever's going on for you. I've been writing a book recently. I'm writing lots of books, but one of these books that's been taking me a long time to write, it's such a deep topic, and it's the topic of our repressed, suppressed, dark side, or our shadow self, the things which are unconscious. And the reason this is so important is because if we have repressed and suppressed energies, they are like ghosts that haunt us. Yeah? So if we have any unresolved business, old stories in our head, past wounds, brainwashing and conditioning from our parents and from our life and our culture, any addictions that we're not owning up to, any resentment, hatred, negativity, or fear towards anyone, all of this stuff, if we stuff it down, we try and hide it from ourselves, but then it comes up in our lives as fate. So we end up getting into all sorts of weird situations that are very disturbing, because that dark stuff has to come up. Yeah, whatever's inside has to come to the surface. We can't actually run away from anything. So reason this is so important is that if we look at it, if we face it, if we bring what is unconscious into consciousness, then we can deal with it, right? So what we're doing is just being willing to have a look, yeah? Willing to put your head in Pandora's box, yeah? Willing to face it, willing to face your demons, face your past, face your ghosts, face your feelings, rather than running away and distracting. And once we face it, we bring consciousness to it, we bring light to it, we bring awareness to what's really going on, because it's going on. If it's going on, it's going on, yeah? So if anything is happening, it's happening. Whether or not we're aware of it, doesn't make any difference. It's still there. And most relationships and most social situations are full of suppressed, weird energies. And you can feel it, and you know it's going on, but no one dares to say anything about it because it's socially unacceptable to speak your mind. So, you know, don't worry about trying to change anyone else, right? And there will be weird social events and all sorts of weird things going on. But we can at least deal with it in ourselves. So what I'd like to encourage you to do is I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions and just notice what comes up. We can do a little bit of breakthrough here. What do you do that you prefer nobody knows about? What are your dirty little secrets that you don't want anyone to find out about? Yeah, we can just bring that in mind. You don't have to say this to me or to anyone else. You just think about it, yeah? And if you don't think you have any dirty little secrets, I recommend you have a little look. Yeah? Just asking a question is probably going to trigger you and reveal something into your mind. You might feel guilty, you might feel ashamed, you might go unconscious, you might try and run away from this call. Yeah, that's all signs of the dark side. Yeah, what bad habits, dirty secrets, ashamed things have you got going on, hidden away? Just allow that to come up. We're just going to do this real quick, all right? This book I've written is obviously far more detail, but you know, you can get that when it's ready. But just bring that up to the surface, whatever it is. Own it by seeing it. Let yourself see it. Imagine this is a thing. Whatever you've been hiding from, whatever emotions or activities or, you know, previous past events. Just allow yourself to see it and hold it as if it's like a thing in your hands. Yeah, it could be a memory, it could be an addiction, it could be an object, yeah, it could be anything. And just say to yourself, I acknowledge that this is here. I'm willing to look at this. This is a real thing and I'm seeing it. And once you've done that, just acknowledging, you know, you're not saying it's good or bad or right or wrong, you're saying this is here, that's it. And now you can let it go. Just allow, imagine it floats up, imagine God is in the sky, or there's like a divine light, peaceful light, purifying light like the sun. And imagine that thing, whatever it is lifted away, like it becomes lighter and lighter, like a helium balloon, just floating up, and disappearing into this purifying light. And just let it float away. Let it float away. Notice yourself feeling light. As you float that away, you'll feel liberated. So there you go. That's just very simple, very simple. But you can practice that. I mean, I've kind of give you this sort of very short version there. Practice that next time you're feeling triggered. Because if we have unconscious things that we're hiding away from ourselves or from others, it's going to keep coming back and creating havoc and chaos in our lives. So we might as well just stop running away, face it, own it, and let it go. And that's a superhero effort, yeah? Most people would prefer not to look at themselves, yeah? Prefer to distract, drugs, addictions, television, movies, yeah? Cell phones. But if we're willing just to face it, deal with it, and let it go, that means you're a superhero. So congratulations. Congratulations for being the real deal. Are you there, Taylor?
Indeed I am.
Fantastic.
I missed that. I missed the beginning of that little dialogue there, but here I am. Sorry, I was a little
wonderful.
Late.
Well, I'm sure you will concur that bringing the unconscious to consciousness is a very important thing to be doing.
Well, that's what it's all about, really. That's what we're here to do as human beings. That and a few other small tasks, but that's the biggest, really. So I do agree, yes. Indeed I do.
Good. So we got some people on the call. I'm going to actually just randomly unmute somebody and see what happens. Hello, this is the 417 number. Who have we got? You may speak, 41787. I'm not going to read your whole number, but you are unmuted.
Yes, hello?
Hello. Hello, who's this?
It's Joyeve again.
Oh, fantastic. Joyeve, how are you doing?
Oh, well, lots of things happening. And as you said at the start, so fast, everything's happening so fast. I split up my relationship and I guess a lot of people in the world, you know, feel the same. Probably or go through worse even, but having no money, not knowing where to sleep, have to find out how, you know, things get going. And last Monday, I didn't even know where I'm going to sleep. I was really in so much changes that, you know, I can't explain. It's just there's a lot of changes coming, and it's good, actually, you know. And now that day, Monday, it was so strong, and a friend I knew from a few years ago offered me to stay at his place for a few days at least, and we might, you know, find a way to work together, work it out. And yeah, that was just one day, and everything's changing, you know, one instant.
Wow, that's quite a intense experience. How are you feeling?
I actually, it's a challenge because I know I can, you know, handle all that. And maybe it was too easy before. So now I'm going, I really have to I'll find a job, find a place again, and I want to be there for my son as well. I wish for my ex-partner to really have her to, I guess she's working on her things, and I want everybody to feel good, you know. I'm back and forth between, you know, what can I do for me now, what's going to be the next little step that's going to make me feel better and get on.
Well, that's a perfect inquiry to be in. I like the way you said that, so I just wanted to underscore it, because that's just a darn good question to be asking ourselves, all of ourselves, no matter where we are or what's happening in our lives every day. What little step can I take to make myself feel better and get on with things? What little step? You know, and especially now, because the energy is so ramped up, because things are moving at beyond light speed, to be able to just look at what's next versus the whole picture, which can easily take one down, you know, if you're, you know, in many situations, you know, especially it sounds like you're dealing with a lot of things. So that's, and the truth is, it has you be more in the present moment anyways, because all there is really to do is what is the next thing, you know, what's the next step. And a lot where we get overwhelmed and confused and the mind can do its mischief is when we are focused on something other than the next step or being in the present moment. And so I think that's really a beautiful place to come to that you have, and I think you articulated it really well, is just what you said. You know, and that's something we can all take away from, no matter where we are or what we're up to. So thank you for sharing that. And, John, I think that was really very profound.
It's easy to say. I don't know if where I would be right now without the training. But now at least I can focus on what really gets me going, and also always wanting to learn more from life. So my whole situation, if I look at the past, it's like a big puzzle, and you know, I nearly feel like I have all the pieces filled, and when sharing things that I'm going through right now with friends or asking for help, it's hard when you don't get help, but then suddenly something happens. It's really needs a little bit of courage. Just be honest about something or write honestly. And I got opportunity to have an apartment, might have, and just things open up. And when I share it with other people, then I see how much they think ahead and fear, you know, being in the same situation. So they ask a lot of questions, and I'm not there yet. I'm right now, I'm here, and I just need, you know, something to eat. And they don't see that. And I'm afraid to ask.
Well, don't forget, you know, we've all kind of been programmed. It's sort of the culture to be in a linear construct. By that I mean, you know, one plus one equals two is it's like a first you do this, then you do this, then you do that, and or that you have to have some kind of plan. You know, they start us off with that real quickly, and so it's easy to get caught up in that sort of roadmap, so to speak. But that in the era that we're living in right now, that's what's really consistent with the energy of now is to not know. That's the highest sexual state, to not know. To have as an answer to the question when someone says, well, like, so what's your plan, like, for the future? Like, what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do for a job? What are you going to do for blah, blah, blah? Say, you know what, I'm not, I don't really know yet, or I don't know. Just, you know, and then shifting back to that, what you said before, I'm just taking, you know, take care of myself one step at a time, that kind of thing. Instantly what that does when you get an answer like that from someone is it has the other person really be present to the degree to which they aren't in the present moment often. And it does require a great portion of both trust in particular, but also, faith, trust, they go hand in hand, but also, you know, being okay with the fact that you probably aren't, that answer probably isn't going to satisfy most people. You know, I mean, the majority of people, you know, aren't probably real comfortable with that. I know for myself, you know, given that I live my life there, you know, one of my spiritual teachers, I'll never forget, when I could see, like, it seemed like my life was on this trajectory, and I could see out to, you know, I had met Jeff, and we had gone through this courtship, I knew we were getting married, then I knew we were going to go on honeymoon, because, you know, why else get married if you aren't going to go on the honeymoon, as far as I'm concerned. But then it was like after that it was like blank. I'm like, oh, well, what's up with that, you know? And I remember I went to one of my spiritual teachers and I said, you know what, like, I'm having a little bit of a trouble because I can see like how the course of my life is going to go up until, you know, I get married, we go on a honeymoon. But then I can't really see beyond that, and I'm a little wondering, like, why is that? I mean, do I need to get to that place before it reveals itself, or like, what's the deal? And they didn't say anything for a long time. And then finally she said, no, it's that from that juncture on, your next evolutionary task or sort of mission as a spiritual being is to get comfortable with being in the unknown, have to be at home in the unknown. And I remember I was so upset by that answer. I mean, not only was it not the answer I would never have predicted, but I left there just in a huff. You know, I was thinking, what kind of guidance is that? What kind of spiritual teacher is this? What the heck? I mean, I was so upset. And I fussed around about it for like 4 or 5 days, maybe longer. And but then somehow it dawned on me that that could be quite profound, quite a profound state to find myself in and not be in a huff. If I could actually be okay with being in the unknown, which, by the way, you know, the mind is not real comfortable with. In fact, I just had a session with someone who's a psychologist. Now, psychologists are all about knowing, you know, they like to have everything all figured out. And I was explaining that, you know, the mind is rather invested in knowing, very invested, one could say. It doesn't take well to not knowing, not a comfortable place. So, you know, now what I've discovered having, you know, I don't know how many years ago that was, but now to me it's just a very, what I've come to recognize, it is the most present space to conduct one's life from. And it also allows for the greatest opening to miracles and magic and being in synchronicity, you know, to not have expectations, so to speak, or to not know. And so I just want to kind of underscore what you're saying, John, by saying that you probably won't find a large portion of individuals, unless, you know, they're highly spiritually enlightened and evolved or kind of tapped in, that will not want to have some kind of trajectory or like linear outline for life. So, you know, I think it's just good to kind of recognize that and to be able to embrace where you're at as actually being, you know, quite consistent with the energies, the true energies of the universe, and especially the energies of right now. Is that making sense to you?
Yeah. I know. And as, for example, doing a lot of sports, maybe more in the past, you're always anticipating when you move, and now in this situation right now, when I don't get help, it's actually the best help I can get, you know, because I can make it up myself. I don't need the help, and you know, I'm asking for. I can help myself much better than having someone saying, "Well, you could have seen that coming." Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that outcome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, you're in an exciting place right now, and it's an exciting time on the planet to be in such an exciting place. So I really encourage you to, you know, just keep asking for divine intervention and divine support, and then have a high expectation for it to come in whatever ways will best support your next path of light and evolution, whatever that may be, you know. And as long as you're holding that as your focus and your intention, you know, it's really impossible to go wrong, really. Like, I mean, there is really no going wrong anyhow, but you know what I'm saying. That will put you firmly in the flow.
Yes, and that's happening in an instant. I mean, you know, if I can ask this question, it really happens. Just when I do that, I tend to forget that there's that help too. But if I would, you know, for example, speak with a psychiatrist, and tell him that, he would, you know, most of the people don't understand. And I live in a place where, you know, people, I guess, there's a lot of very rich people, and there's something else I have to look at myself about, you know, not being, not wanting to stay in that situation and make my own life a better place and my own world, and nobody else going to do it for me.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's normally when we get to these quite extreme situations like what you're experiencing right now, that we have the kind of power and the motivation and insight to, you know, get what we want, you know, find out what we want, find out what we don't want. And, you know, what often happens is if we have everything, you know, set up a certain way and, you know, everything's kind of all right, it can be hard to change it because we can get attached to what we have. But when it all falls apart, which is not, you know, it's not a pleasant experience, but the good thing about it is it gives us some space and some freedom to try stuff out that we wouldn't have done otherwise because we were attached. So you've kind of been liberated from whatever you were doing, and now you can really go deep into, you know, what is this? What is the highest good? What's the really best thing for me? And like Taylor was saying, you might not know what that is, and you might continue not knowing what it is. But just asking the question, you know, kind of opens your unconscious mind and opens you up to various things that would show up for you, you know. And it could be anything. It could be all sorts of things. You might meet someone today who offers you to stay in their mansion or something in the Alps or whatever, yeah. Who knows what it is? It could be something completely different. It could be all sorts of things. But, you know, it's kind of, on one hand, daunting and scary, and then on the other hand, it's also exciting, you know. Do you feel that there's like some little excitement in there, a little bit for you?
Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of excitement. At the moment where I have an answer to what's the next step, there's a huge, you know, motivation that's coming, of course, because I know it's exactly right. And if it doesn't work, I know, well, I don't have support, then let it go.
Yeah. And something else will come up instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Johnny, I think it's probably worth mentioning that you can ask for help, you know. You know, because you're in Switzerland, there's lots of wealth around. People probably just assume that people don't have problems financially and everything's kind of all right, a lot of people. There's this studies were done on people who like have car accidents, right? Or they're dying in the street or something. And if enough people just walk past that person, everyone just walks past. Someone could be like literally dying and they like 50 people walk past them. Or someone could be in a car crash and 50 people drive past. But if you point at somebody, one person, and you get their attention and you speak to them directly, they'll take it very seriously and help. Yeah. So this is herd mentality, right? So if there are any people in your life who you can just talk to directly and say, look, this is what I'm going through. Is there any way you can help me out for like a week or something or a day or, you know, whatever? Then you'll probably get some good responses from these people, you know. But don't talk to them as a group. Talk to individual people one at a time, you know.
Yes, that's what happened. You know, trying to catch up and talk to some, and that was just the right moment. And now I have this the place where I can stay. And also share, you know, give something back. I mean, it really feels good because I guess in the past I did help out other people when I had enough. You know, some people could stay at my place and I was sharing without, you know, thinking. So maybe it's now, it's just coming back, you know.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, well, we're excited to hear what transpires next for you and your adventure, because you've been liberated from old things, and now there's all these new possibilities, which are endless, you know.
Yeah, keep us posted. We'll look forward to all your miracles and magic over there.
Thank you. You know, I have so many ideas, and I just want to focus on my book. That's all.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Most important.
Good for you. Well, keep it going. You know, I want to know about your book, so keep it going. You know, even as long as you've got a laptop or a piece of paper, you can carry on. You know.
Yeah, so, you know, you're talking to Carol a few weeks ago.
Mhm.
And now I did record things on my iPhone or on the phone. Mm-hmm. And then I can write them down later. And I was just talking and talking for 20 minutes. So I, you know, half of a chapter, results, recipes, or maybe a bit less, but it's done. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's it. It's easy as that.
Yeah.
So just keep doing it, you know. Keep doing it when you're feeling inspired. I recommend writing every day. Because then you get in a habit, you get in a flow, and yeah, and just keep doing it, you know. Perfectionism can cripple us, so just keep moving forward. That's the main thing. And if something, you know, is going to be improved, it will be improved. And it, you can't always do everything in one book. So try and keep your books as succinct and on one topic as you can. And bear in mind, you can write another one, and a third one, and a fifth one, and a tenth one. So I would suggest just keep, chop it down, keep it simple, and publish it on Amazon, which is easy to do, and then write another one. You know, when I work with clients on helping them with their books, I get them to write a 1,000-word book or a 5,000-word book and get it published. But I actually was working with someone yesterday, and he published his first book. And, you know, it's just to get it going, you know, because if you don't get that first one out of the way, you're always sort of worrying about things and spinning out. But once you do it once, then it becomes easy, you know, and then you can do another one, yeah. So I would encourage you, you know, even though you're in a weird situation, just try and publish a book anyway, you know. Just get it finished, publish a book, you know. So,
just get it done.
Yeah, good thing about ebooks and Kindle books is you can always upgrade them later. If you want to change something, you just go back and upload a new file. It's really easy.
Yes, I've listened to your audios many times. I mean, at least three or four times, and took notes, and I really have to thank you. And I'm looking forward, because I know it's done, and now even I can see further, because I have to be confident in the way that, you know, I might get money out of it, of course.
Yeah,
and I know I'm going to write other books, and there's so much ideas, but yeah, one thing at a time, and I want to thank you, all of you, you know, because I feel, you know, there's a lot of benevolent beings on this planet. Thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome, and we're grateful for you for just, you know, being as calm as you are, and just carrying on. It's quite impressive, really.
Well, this, maybe if I can share this, I know what I experienced in the past helps me now to go through this, because it's really, I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, once you've gone through it enough times, it stops not being quite as severe as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so keep us posted. You know, do the miracles and publish a book in the meantime. And we know you're going to be fine. We know you're going to be all right. And come back on the call in 2 weeks and tell us what has changed. We're very, very, very interested.
Yeah.
Good. Jean-Yves, that's it again in Switzerland. Fantastic. So we've got lots of people on the call today. If you would like to say hello, press, what's the button? Press *2 to raise your hand, and I'll unmute you. I can see all the numbers. And if someone doesn't do that very quickly, I'm going to unmute people randomly. How about that?
All right. That's what we like to hear.
All right. That'll make it a
superhero call right there.
Exactly. I'm giving you 3 seconds to press *2. 1, 2, 3. No one's done it, so we're clicking on Calgary. Hello. Who's this?
Oh, there they are, driving along.
Michael, it's Rachel. I knew you were going to do that.
Well, there we go. I didn't know it was you, Rachel, but I just randomly picked.
Oh, I'm just here listening in the background.
You're not in the background anymore.
I am driving. So how is everyone?
We're good. Having fun.
You know what's funny? Every time you say you're going to randomly click a number, I'm like, oh my God, he's totally choosing me.
Well, there we go. It must
be
you.
That should be an indicator to you to push the button then.
Yeah.
Well, if everything else would just work out like that, that would be fantastic.
Wow.
Well, let's create that as an intention.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's happening up there, Rachel? Up in has spring sprung up there?
Well, yes, I suppose, but we're still probably in for some snow. It's super windy today, and it looks like it wants to snow, but for the most part, it's pretty nice here. It is about 4 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but that's how beautiful it is here today.
Well,
yeah.
So what would you like to ask us or share with us? We know you got something, or your number wouldn't have been randomly selected.
I don't know specifically. Well, you were talking to, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name of the previous caller, so I came up.
Jean-Yves is a proper.
Jean-Yves, okay. Well, you were talking to him about asking for help, and I don't know, that just kind of cued into me, and because you know me, Michael, I've been asking for help, and I'm actually just sitting with a friend of mine for dinner tonight who helps me out quite a bit, so it'll be, and planning on asking him for a little bit more help, and that's very humbling for me, so it'll be interesting to see if I actually can blurt those words out, so.
Well, let's take the intrigue out of that equation and just why don't you commit to asking for help when you go over there for dinner tonight?
Yeah. Okay. I'll do it.
Yeah. And then and maybe even up the ante a bit for whatever you're going to ask for.
All right, I'll do it.
You know, it's my experience in particular that men love being of support to women that ask them for it. Now, that's not a gender generalization, even though it might sound like one, but rather it really is a sort of an energetic dynamic, and that's not to say that women don't also enjoy being of support when men ask for it, but there is a particular energetic dynamic that occurs in that equation. I've noticed, and I've had a lot of opportunity to notice, because Jeff, my husband, pretty much everywhere we go are single women in need of support or help from men, and by that I mean in particular like projects or little jobs that men, normally or might really want to do,
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff happens to be one of those guys that he can do anything, so he qualifies highly for that role. But what I notice is that every time we get in these situations, they'll have a list. Like when we go over to my mother's house, she has a whole Jeff list, because she's a single woman, and a man shows up who's handy, and it's like, oh boy, it's Christmas time. I'm serious. All year round, if Jeff appears, she kind of like walks right, hi, honey. Okay, is Jeff here? does he bring any tools? And voila, off he goes on the list. And you can tell, not only does it really wonderful for her, because, women walking around with a whole list of to-do things with no one to perform them, they can get worn down after a little while. But more importantly, what I notice is how he loves that. He loves, because she'll get all excited, he'll fix some random little thing. She goes, oh, you fixed that, and you can just watch his energy just Skype up, just peak. Because he doesn't get necessarily. I try to ongoingly generate that level of excitement, but there's something when she's been waiting for 2 weeks for him to show up. Her level of excitement always tops mine, because I have him around all the time.
Yeah,
and she'll just go nuts. you know, with, oh, my God, did you see that? He fixed that. Yeah. And you could just see, just happy as a clam, you know. And so it's a huge, I guess what I want to say is, just to kind of shift, give you a different reality or way to look at it, is it's an enormous gift for you to be asking him, for him to be of support to you. And the greater of support, the greater gift, and the greater your enthusiasm for his support, the greater energy exchange. So instead of feeling like, oh, you know, I hope I can work up the courage to do this, and then he'll say, okay, and you'll be like, oh, you know, thank goodness, versus, you will? Oh, my God, you know, and like, smother him with like, you know, oh, that's just the best news ever, you know. And we have to learn this, these dynamics, because we've been so culture dictated to kind of play down asking for things, you know, kind of get into that, like you just said, I guess I hope I can work myself up to ask for it versus, wow, I can hardly wait to ask him for this because, one, he's going to be so darn excited because I'm going to ask him for something and he'll be able to give me something. And then, two, I get to be super excited that he's going to do that and gush all about it and make a big deal. That's a very different dynamic than we've kind of been culturally exposed to or skilled in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really encourage you to practice that, like to all of us, really, to take that on. I look for occasions to ask for people to do things because I recognize that how important that energy cycle is to give and receive, you know, and to be an acknowledgement for it. And if we don't create opportunities, then we're missing that important feeding cycle of appreciation.
Mm-hmm. I like that perspective, other than just because I kind of come from a household where you don't ask for help. You do everything yourself until you just can't do it anymore. So it is, and I mean, my sister is like that, my mother's like that, and we're super close. And so I like that perspective of just of the cycle of giving and receiving, is that we're providing somebody an opportunity to do that as well, you know, so that we can also do the same for someone else one day or for them. And it's a lot better. It's a lot nicer than thinking, well, I can't ask. I'll be putting them out in some way if I ask.
That's
you
right.
Know,
and that's
simple as that.
Exactly. And that's, we do have those, you know, sort of ingrained beliefs, which are completely not even real at all. And
mm-hmm.
don't have anything to do with actually what's going on energetically for people. So we're missing this whole juice, this whole juicy opportunity to go higher and deeper in intimacy and in relationships because of that, because of we shut that whole thing down and we're careful about it and we tiptoe and we walk on eggshells and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really encourage you to you know, as I said, really ramp it up. Like, look for opportunities to make requests for support and then look for opportunities to go nuts about being in appreciation and acknowledgement of that support when you get it. And then he'll just be sitting there, like, looking, hoping that there'll be a next opportunity for him to do something for you. Like, wow, Rachel, man, I'll tell you, man, you do one little thing for her, and the woman, like, freaks out. I mean, gosh, that was the best thing ever. I hope she comes over again and asks me to do something else. Or
yeah.
Men will be like, wait, I'll do it, you know, like, because I want to get that acknowledgement, man. You know,
it's true. It brings a lot of joy. See? Like, fundamentally, we all want to feel, you know, happy. We want to feel we're useful, you know, and not just wasting our lives. So, if you ask someone to do something that they enjoy doing and they're good at doing and they can do easily, and it makes a huge difference to you, then they're just like, wow, oh my God. Yeah. So, yeah, do it. Do it. And I think one of the important things, subtle things here, which hasn't really been said, is that if you ask someone to do something that they like to do and they're good at doing and they can do easily, you know, that's even better, yeah, because
yeah,
they can, because
yeah,
people are like, some people have just like mastered stuff to such a high degree that they can just whip it together, like boom, job done, you know, whereas it takes everyone else like 10 hours, they can just like knock it out in 20 minutes. And,
right,
you know, when someone has that level of skill and you ask them if they can do their little magic thing, then they're even more excited about it because it's something they... But it's magic. It's like, you know, we all have magic powers. And
yeah, it's complete magic. And,
yeah,
you know, just on that note, like, I remember what I really like to have things fixed. You know, that gives me a lot of juice because I don't like to fix things. But I have things that need fixed, and I like to get them fixed, you know. And I remember when I first met Jeff, I didn't know, you know, could he fix things, couldn't he? It was a question. But I just decided right off the bat, you know, since I married him, I was going to create him as someone that could fix anything, you know, and that's just that. So I presented him with the first project, some fixed project, and I said, Jeff, can you fix this for me? I know you can because you can fix anything, essentially, and that's the reality I created it. And off he went. You know, he didn't, like, say, well, I don't know, you know, let me look at it, you know, that stuff. And I just started saying to everyone about Jeff at any given time that, Jeff, he can fix anything. Jeff can fix anything. Now, the truth is, the matter is I actually don't know if he can fix anything. You know what I mean? But my reality is he can, and I think by virtue of holding him there, communicating that, it enables him to really do the impossible. I've seen him fix things that they shouldn't have even been by all rights fixed. Fixable. I've created this whole I think supernatural reality of beingness that enables him to move into the being able to fix anything zone by virtue of me intending it to be so. And that's another element I just want to say, you know, that if we're wanting to have support in our lives in the ways that we do, then hold that intention that those are the people that you have that surrounding you are really highly capable and eager to be of support. And then that's just your reality. That's the reality you're going to create. Because, you know, I mean, we all create our own reality anyway. So we might as well, you know, stack the deck in a reality that's going to have us be, you know, fulfilled and satisfied, you know, at all times. And so that's just another thing to kind of, you know, take on and have fun with and create.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, thank
well, this
you.
Is gonna be, this is going to be a fun evening then.
Yeah. Sounds very intriguing. Yeah. Men especially, they like to fix things. They like to solve problems, yeah? So they like to win and solve problems. If you let a man fix something, he's won. So he feels good about it.
Well, that's great, because I've got lots of stuff that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
Oh, believe me,
good.
I don't know any woman that doesn't.
No, I'm just not sure if a person can actually fix it, but we're good.
Well, give them a challenge. Yeah, men also like a challenge, you know. We like a challenge. So,
yeah.
Like to win and like a challenge. So why not just, you know.
Yeah.
Fun. That's what, you know, that's the reason people get bored, is because there's nothing to fix, nothing, no challenge, you know. A lot of guys have just got nothing to fix, so they're just sitting around watching TV.
Yeah.
Didn't know what to do, and they're happy about it.
There you go. That's the whole problem with the world right there.
Men are just bored because women are not asking for help.
And
oh,
also,
I mean,
also
that's
the thing
not
is,
too far away from being pretty much right on.
Yeah, but this is the problem with our modern culture is that it's kind of this sort of feminist movement, as much as there's tons of benefit for women having freedom to do things, the downside is that men have lost their kind of place as the person who fixes things, because it's socially unacceptable to have that kind of role dynamic. You know, whereas actually it's kind of natural for men to want to fix things for women anyway.
Yeah, and I think that we've been talking
taken
about
away. Yeah, and it traumatizes men. This is like the dark side of all this women's rights side. I mean, it's good. Okay, I'm not, obviously not against that at all, but the dark side of it is that men lost their role in a way, and it's traumatized the men. So a lot of men don't know where they stand anymore, and they're not helping people, and they feel basically useless. Quite horrible for them. But give them a favor and ask loads of men to help you out.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah, we want to. We want to report on that.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Well, see if you can ask 10 men to do you interesting favors. Fix things for you. See what happens.
Before long, Rachel will have people calling her up. Do you need anything? Is there anything I can do for you? Do you need anything fixed? I haven't heard from you for a while.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, because my sister and I actually live together, and we're both like, okay, we need to get something done. We'll look it up and figure it out ourselves. And one day my sister put a picture online with her in her dress fixing her washing machine, and one of our friends went, don't you have guy friends that can do that for you? And we both looked at each other and went, why? We can do it ourselves. And then we thought, whoa, yeah, good point. Why are we doing this? We have friends we could ask. So we just, again, in that strong woman aspect, go, well, we can just do it. So, which is great, but, you know, I think a friend of mine who said that was actually quite almost insulted that we didn't call and ask him for help. So that's actually a good point that you guys make, that guys want to be, or really people want to be asked for help.
Yeah. We're designed as a culture of people who help each other out. So if we stop doing it, you know, it's horrible. Yeah. Things have got so upside down that everyone sort of thinks they can do everything themselves. Realistically, we can't do everything ourselves. And most of us are really pretty horribly bad at most things and only good at a few things. So we need tons of help, really.
Yeah. Well, I think
it really is a spiritual act. I mean, it's what being of service is all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the highest spiritual act. And so it's worth getting good at and embracing it and taking it on and really enjoying that whole process, because it just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, and it's getting out of the mindset of, if I ask somebody to do something for me, I'm going to owe them.
Oh, you definitely want to let go of that one, yeah.
Yeah, right? So, again, that's an old, you know, belief that's been kind of ingrained in my family. Well, if you do something for them, or if they do something for you, you're going to owe them. Isn't that horrible? That's really
well,
not good.
So many things are horrible, you know, in that whole, and what is being deconstructed as we speak. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure it served its purpose at some point, but it definitely does not anymore. So,
sure.
Yeah. And, you know, like Michael was saying earlier, it's really just about bringing consciousness to those patterns that are there and kind of are unconscious, and they kind of run around running things and be like, whoa, okay, wow, that's something that I didn't choose and isn't serving me or anyone else. I'm just going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to do that is by inventing something like this and really taking it on and getting into it, and, you know, because it really does damage to that whole thing pretty darn quickly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. So tell us what happens next time, Rachel. and we're looking forward to the update.
Sounds good. Thank you for your help.
You're most welcome. Thank you for asking. All right. So we got someone from Baltimore, MD. Hello, who's this?
Carol.
Hello, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. thank you, Rachel. And thank you, Jean-Yves. And hello to everyone on the call.
Welcome, Carol.
Yeah, it reminds me of a story, like when I first went through my separation and was moving and doing everything by myself. And I call it, I had a huge pity party for myself. I was like, nobody's helping me. And so I actually did like a meditation and a prayer, and really what came back to me was, you know, we're all the same, we're all one, and if I need help, then others need help. And so I put the intention out there to be helpful. And within an hour, my phone rang, and literally the person said, Carol, I need help. And it kept coming. And then through that, it actually taught me how to ask for help. Because when people actually called and asked me for help, I was so willing to help. And then I, you know, flipped it back around and realized, you know, I can ask. So
it was a
huge lesson.
Oh. Yeah, giving
and receiving. Yeah. But I kind of have a question because I have an interesting thing going on physically where my shoulder is hurt, my right shoulder. And it's kind of like an ancient injury that's come back. And my shoulder's almost like frozen. and you know, I'm finding it sort of ironic because I'm like, you know, jumped over all these hurdles and kind of, you know, been through a lot and school and everything and, you know, kind of feeling like, okay, I'm here. And then this physical thing has come up. Which feels like a blockage. And I'm a little perplexed by it. and you know, doing stuff on my own, seeing a couple practitioners, a little reluctant to go to an orthopedic surgeon because, you know, I feel like their solution is going to be surgery. Like, oh, you need surgery or you need a cortisone shot or, you know. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on that?
it feels like a blockage. It feels like weight that I've been carrying that I'm just for a long time. You know, sort of a little bit of a actually masculine feminine imbalance. Like, I have been carrying that masculine energy. It's this whole right shoulder side. And so I've been trying to do some more feminine things and try to balance my feminine energy and get it a little bit more distributed.
When did it occur?
You know, it originally hurt this shoulder like 15 years ago, helping a friend of mine give birth to her son. And then, you know, with the cortisone shot here and there, you know, in my marriage, it was, it subsided. And then actually, during the course of my nutrition program and cleaning up my diet and doing a lot of probiotics and body ecology stuff, I literally was able to heal it. And then as I finished school, actually it flared up the end of the summer. And it was interesting because I was like, you know, I was able to kind of calm it down at that point. But this child that was born at that time, he kept coming into my head. So finally, like one day, I was just like, I have to call this friend and check on this kid. So I'm like, I'm calling to see, you know, is Brandon okay? And my friend's like, oh, you know, we're in the parking lot of the doctor's office because his shoulder is hurt. And so he was going in, you know, because his shoulder was hurt. So I'm wondering, you know, at that point, if even during his birth something happened during his shoulder, and empathetically I picked up some of it at that point. And then it also is kind of connecting me to him. So that's part of it. And then it kind of flared up. You know, it's just one of these things where you just, like, reach for something and it kind of flares up. And then I fell in the ice in January, the end of February, and actually landed on my elbow and kind of jammed that whole bone, like, up into that joint. And that just exacerbated it. So,
well,
and
what
I've
happened
just
when
been,
you fell? When you fell, what were you thinking and doing?
Well, when I fell, I was actually dog sitting, and a dog had escaped. And so I was trying to get the dog back. I actually had tracked the dog. I knew, you know, I could see exactly, you know, it was snow, so I could track the dog. I knew where it had gone over the fence, and I could have gone one way, but then I, you know, would decided to go. I knew that the dog was in another direction, so I started walking down these people's driveway, and it was in the middle of a snowstorm here, and it was a really steep driveway, and I just slipped on the driveway. And then when I fell, I just kind of came down on that side and landed on my elbow. Another neighbor who they had called to was like looking for the dog, and so I fell, and I was just kind of sitting there, and then he came up, and he's like, you know, let's just go back up to the house. And as soon as I got up and we started walking back up to the house, you know, the dog just ran up and came back. So that's the story.
Well, that's one heck of a story. One heck of a story. And a good one, too. Well, here's my suggestion. And it would be to have you spent any time communicating directly to that area?
Yes. You know, trying to, you know, I mean, I've been trying to love it, you know, be kind to it and trying to listen to what it's trying to teach me. Because I do believe, you know, that these are messages. But, yeah, it's just, you know, and there's something about, you know, constant pain or, you know, moving in certain directions all the time that, you know, you just, it's exhausting sometimes.
There's no doubt about that, yeah. I know, I really have a lot of compassion for people that live in constant and excruciating pain, of which there are many.
Yeah.
Because, you know. Well, I suggest a few things. One, spend a little bit of time with it. Get into a, you know, high space and ask it what it needs and wants.
Okay.
And then just see what occurs. And You may also want to let go of the idea that it's a blockage.
Okay.
And create some other, because the body, the mind is a powerful thing, and the body will believe whatever the mind tells it, so to speak.
Right.
So let's come up with some other, and I'm not, I think it would be great for you to come up with it. I mean, there's a lot of things I could say, but I think, it's best if you come up with another communication for what you could say about all that. I mean, okay, I got the whole story, but like right now, let's come up with some other communication that empowers you in shifting it into, not being frozen and whatever the current configuration of it is. I mean, blockage is a little vague.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it's not necessarily that empowering.
Right.
And it doesn't give you access to it as energy, necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, the other story that comes is sort of like, just rest, take a break.
All right, well, now we're talking.
This seems to be like, when I tune into this, it appears that behind everything you're saying is, it's like you've been forcing and pushing a lot and
mm-hmm.
doing a lot and haven't really been gentle and calm towards yourself, maybe as much as would be good for you.
That's true.
Yeah. It seems
like
this is the masculine side, it's like how I look at it is that when we have these situations, what they're doing is it's revealing our unconscious to us, and whatever is not been looked at, we're having to look at it, and it's a good thing. So what is this telling you directly or indirectly? What is it making
you look
at?
And one thing for sure, you can always be sure of, Carol, is we always know exactly what we need. There's no mysteries at all whatsoever. And that's why, like you're saying, I really don't want to go to a doctor or get steroids. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, because who knows best what that situation is desiring in order to shift is you. You already do know. You know exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you said rest, and I saw, boom, okay. Lights going off, fireworks.
Yeah, and it kind of like goes back to Shawnee's, situation where you're just like, there's such a pressure to sort of keep moving forward and have a plan. And I had all the dominoes in a row, The plan was going along, and then all of a sudden I'm kind of like, and now this, and it's not like I can't, and I'm also sort of like, you can still do things. You could go through the rest of your life with one arm. You could still do things, Not that that's going to be the case, but it's sort of like letting it go a little bit. I don't know.
Well, don't settle for that kind of stuff. I mean,
I know.
Let's not go there. What I'm saying is it's time for you to take charge. You are in charge. You don't have to look for help outside of yourself. Your body does know best. You do know best. So let's get in relationship there with your shoulder that's obviously looking for some kind of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that the intention you're giving it is, hasn't like really hit the nail on the head, so to speak, because you're
linear.
There you go.
Yep.
And I predict, again, transformation takes an instant. It doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out thing. We're in the energies of resurrection. This is a powerful time we're in. We're leading up to the lunar eclipse on Saturday. It's Easter, and this is a perfect time to really embrace those places where we have kind of settled for, or there's complacency, or whatever it is. This idea of rebirth and resurrection, that's the energy that we're in right now. And by God, perfect timing for this, because you definitely want to resurrect and rebirth this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my invitation to you. And, take it on and make it happen. And that could be your weekend project.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I did want to say, too, got to hang out with some superheroes in the flesh this past weekend for Patty Sands, premiere of Planetary at National Geographic. And it was just amazing to be with, fellow superheroes in the flesh.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
A giggling bunch of, it was just a lot of, giggling. vibrating, really vibrating high, and it was just such a magical experience. The movie was phenomenal, and the whole experience was phenomenal, and just nice to connect with them. And then, I have one other question. I'm actually giving a little talk tomorrow to the Food and Water Action Network headquarters, doing a briefing there on biodynamic agriculture tomorrow. And I'm just giving them some resources. I'm just going to do some tie-in to the food system and biodynamics. And when I look at the work that they're doing, and everybody's doing great work, and a lot of what they're doing is petitions and kind of protests and getting laws passed, and I understand how important that kind of work is, but I'm trying to figure out a way to voice it in a more positive way, to try to, as opposed, a lot of what they're working on right now is to try to get the chicken, we have like Purdue and Tyson and all these, factory farm chicken, chicken farms on the eastern shore of Maryland that are just really polluting the bay. And what they're working on right now is to try to make them financially responsible for the cleanup of what their factories are doing to the water system. And I'm trying to find some good languaging to flip it to solutions as opposed to focusing on the problem. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on that. Just having driven through Delaware and that whole area you're talking about and seeing those farms, well, actually smelling them.
Yeah.
Smelling them first, seeing them second. I was shocking, really. It was like a prisoner of war camp. It wasn't like that. It kind of was that. No windows, no doors, the whole very odd energy. And there's a lot of them there. And so that is the reality. And so there is that reality. And you're right. There are those people that have made it their life to be in the Senate and Congress and lobbying for laws. And that's that's their deal, and that's great because we do need people that are doing that. You know, that's where change can happen and things can occur and have occurred. And so my suggestion to you would be, you find your path in the whole situation and what lights you up the most, the gift you have, because it, you know, may not be that, and that's fine. They'll do that. But what is it that you'll do that's unique to you, and start doing that? You know, me personally, you know, one of the things that I am most passionate about is any environmental issue whatsoever. You know, I kind of look at it like no earth, no planet, no food, no, you know, I kind of start from there. So I'm always looking for the biggest possible missions to bring large swaths of humanity into an enlightened, evolved consciousness with regard to environmental issues. That's my deal, you know, and I'm really into that. And I keep asking for both those kinds of projects, but also those kinds of opportunities. And they land pretty square in my lap, all the time, just out of nowhere, you know. You know, like key people, key players on the planet will come to me for a session, and, you know, voila, you know, there it is, you know. And so I would recommend that you both ask for that, like ask. Okay. What is the biggest possible difference and impact that I can make with who I am and my gifts in this particular environmental planetary issue? And then see what occurs for you, because I don't know what it'll be, but I know there is something. And it doesn't have to be in opposition to what others are doing. It can just be something that's a whole new, different thing. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it might be something that's just, whoa, that's a new idea. Okay, that's exciting. Yeah, I can get passionate about that and go with it. Because my sense is, you won't find what you're looking for in looking what is already there, or even being in a balance to what's already there. My sense of you is it's in creating something that isn't there at all.
Yeah.
Because that's what superheroes do.
Yeah.
And so I would invite you to stand there and be an opening in that. And while you're there, you know, before you go there, while you're there, and I'm pretty certain it'll come. It'll just hit you like, boom, like, oh, my gosh, yeah, of course, that's it. You know, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, my big vision, I mean, it's getting very clear to me that I just need to move forward on my really big vision and not think that it's something in the future. You know, I keep getting this feeling like it can happen really, really, really fast. And the people are kind of starting to show up. But, you know,
yeah, let me just articulate what you just said there by rephrasing it to say, your big vision is happening now. Or you wouldn't have it, and you wouldn't have just said your big vision. So
right.
It already is happening, and while there are perhaps different levels of it that have not yet manifested, or, you know, versions of it to set up, all that really is inconsequential. And so just go with that right now. Go with that right now. You know, it's like you're holding back the floodgates, Carol, and it's no accident you've got a frozen shoulder, for God's sake. It's springtime. It's time to thaw and let it run. Let it run. There's nothing to wait for. There's nothing to hold back. There's no future out there whatsoever.
No.
And believe you me, you know, it really is, that's the call for all of us right now. Is
to be in action now. You know, I posted that. I don't know if you saw that video I posted on the.
Yeah, I did. I love that.
Here we go right there. I mean, I love that. I loved what he said. I think it was something like, be you, do you now. Be you, do you now. It was like, wow, it's so cool because no one else can be you and no one else can do you. No one. And that vision is that. And this is it. You know, this is, you know, and it'll just keep, it'll keep doing what it does, but there ain't nothing to wait for at all. And it's the... it's the idea that there is that's having you, whether it's in the future and all that kind of stuff, I suspect, that's keeping this, that is also part and parcel with the shoulder situation.
Yeah. Thanks for voicing my unconscious for me.
Yeah, well, that's what we're here to do for one another. And it's not just your unconscious, really, Carol. It's what we're all, that's, you know, this is the time we're in right now. I mean, it's easy for me to say it now because, you know, I can see it in my own life. You know, I can see it everywhere. It's what is happening with mass consciousness and humanity right now, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And the world.
And I'm super excited about this project personally because... it was really interesting, actually. Now I just see what I didn't see before. When I was driving by there and taking that whole thing in, you know, I noticed there was this part of me that's like, all right, you know what, that's just, you know, we got to stop. That has just to be stopped. That has to just, I mean, come on. And, you know, like blah, 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 blah. And then I noticed it and like this next instant, I just spent like an instant and held an enormous space of intention that thy will shall be done, that living beings shall not be, you know, inhumanely confined in such conditions. Thy will shall be done. And it was just like, boom. And it was like, that was it. You know, it was like, boom. And it was like I could see that those were no more, even though, mile after mile, I'd see another and another. And each time I'd see another, I was more at peace. I find myself more at peace with that it had been done. And so it's interesting that you're bringing that up now because I just saw when you said that, you know, that energy probably landed flat dab on you. It's like, okay, and there's one that's going to do it. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So, now, that was a nice little partnership we had there, Carol. I appreciate your partnership on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge one. And
it's really alarming how that is everything. In the beginning, there was a word. It can be that I don't know if easy is the word I'm looking for, but that swift and efficient. You know, the universe is very efficient, really, if you look from an energy perspective.
That's what I realized, too, like even just my original story, like putting myself out there to help, and literally, like within an hour, less than an hour, the phone rings. And it's, you know.
Well, let me just tell you a little story. If you move forward with this vision now, it's going to be moment by moment you're going to see stuff like that. It won't be less than an hour. It'll be like boom,
yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Isn't
right.
that right, Mr.
Macintosh?
Right. Isn't that right, Mr. Macintosh?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be innovative, Carol, because there's too many copycats around doing the same sort of thing, and it doesn't. We need newness, and you have visions and ideas, and people are wanting to help you. So, yeah, I'm excited for you. And I think the main thing is just to get started. You know, often we think, oh, God, these are such massive missions and massive visions. You know, I have to plan it all out properly and all these things. But there's always something we can do now, you know, literally today, towards moving things forward. Always. Even if it's just phoning someone up, sending an email or something, it's still movement. So that thy will be done, that level of surrender and openness to something new, you know, it's fascinating. It's like an unfolding mystery that you're just watching. Yeah, you start to live in the mystery and it all becomes very, very, very fascinating. So,
yeah, in addition to that, I've come to recognize that there are no huge anything. Actually, that's all just an illusion. The one that really keeps us very, you know, stuck, as you said, when you described your shoulder there. But really, I mean, come on. We're very at home with hugeness because look who we are. Look where we have come from. Look where we're connected to. So this idea that there's something bigger than that is just completely preposterous. It's all a speck compared to that. And that's a useful way of looking at what's really going on. You know, it helps really to kind of put it in its proper perspective.
Yeah, what actually just came to me was this cold shoulder was actually almost like I was at a fork in a road, and it stopped me from going down the wrong fork. It actually just sort of like, you know, you don't have to keep going down this way. You can actually, you know, do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's fascinating. When we start paying attention to our lives and our body and what it's really telling us, it's become very, very interesting. You know, absolutely mysterious, but fascinating. So I'm sure if you carry on doing that, so that's awareness, that's having a higher consciousness about what's going on rather than being stuck in it. You're above it all.
It's actually not a blockage.
It.
It's actually a gate opening.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
It's helping you to do what you need to do. And if it didn't happen, you'd probably do some random thing that would be more of a problem. So congratulations for falling over
so
in
much.
The driveway.
thank you, everybody.
Yeah, and thank you for you know, jumping on and sharing. Michael, I'm sure would have randomly, capriciously picked your number anyhow. But I appreciate your jumping on there. Made a huge contribution.
And I actually needed some help fixing something. Could you help me fix this?
There you go.
Bless you guys. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Bless you.
Yay. All right, for Carol. So we got someone else here who's raised their hands courageously. 297 number. Hello.
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 Hi, this is Daryl from Aruba.
Hello, Daryl. How are you doing?
very well. I'm very happy. It took me a while to get through. The call dropped like 3 times, and that was through Skype, so then I tried calling by phone, and then I got through. So, but I was, I'm very...
Congratulations for your perseverance, Daryl. I just want to appreciate you for not giving up after 3 failed attempts.
We love that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to say a little something about that before you move on, because I appreciate you appreciating him for that, Michael. And I just want to say that is a real skill that if you haven't cultivated, you want to cultivate. It's a superhero of perseverance. And having your needs be met, not giving up, not being like, you know, it's because it's easy enough to fall into a whole, oh, I guess, you know, I'm not going to go, you know, and this whole pattern of not being good enough, judging, who the heck knows what, making whatever's wrong, and to just be like, yeah, okay, you know what, I'm going to keep calling until I get a hold of them. It's just a very high state of being that produces results. I mean, I live like, if I don't get through to someone, well, then it's just a matter of, you know, of me being more intentional. It's just me being more intentional. And I always look at it as it's my mission. And so I've noticed that that many people, I've noticed many people do not, especially, you know, I spent a lot of time with millenniums, and they have, there's this interesting reality that they have that, well, they should have called me back and they didn't, so I guess that's it on that, or, you know, something along those lines. I'm always rather shocked by that. And so I just want to say that anything that along those lines that we're conducting as a belief system with regard to the way that things should go or what people should do or how, you know, this, that, or the other thing, we want to really look at and reinvent to be what serves you in your reality most efficiently. And that's what superheroes do. You know, they invent their circumstances and their reality to suit their missions most efficiently and effectively. So I just wanted to say that because I think that's a good opportunity to underscore that.
Yes. Indeed, that's something I've recently been experiencing. the determination to keep going on and sustaining and persisting through whatever obstacles, as long as you're determined and focused, a lot of focus. And that's also part of the reason why I got on this call today. I have a question a little bit specific regarding my life situation at the moment. As of today, I'm jobless again. So there's a long trajectory and how it got to that. For the past 8 months, I was assisting a local farmer with sustainable organic agriculture and helping him build a market for local produce. However, the energy exchange wasn't really, we weren't aligned for one reason or another, and we both knew it at the beginning. Like after 2 weeks, we were like, okay, we have to talk about this. And we both agreed that best we work on ourselves first, and then we come and see what we can do together, so me and the owner. And however, after 2 weeks again, we got back together. And I've been helping him for 8 months. However, the last couple of weeks, maybe 6 to 8 weeks, I've been feeling as if I'm not useful anymore, and really staying a lot of home, there's not really any more time. And I've been feeling more like a burden to the company because I'm not contributing. And he's also been feeling that. And we both got to an agreement that it's best I stop for now until there's something useful for me again. So I'm on my search again, and it's actually all synergistically happening at the same time. this call specifically answered my question that I wrote down before the call. So I don't know, maybe maybe I don't even have to raise my hand during the calls. I should just listen. I remember Michael telling me that, to just listen and receive. And I've also written that down on my Facebook one time. What if the winds whispered silent whispers of hope, faith, and love, and the waters carried sacred prayers? And being in stillness over the last few months, it's like both sides of the coin. Like, I've been feeling not useful, yet I've been receiving so much. So I don't want to go for hours, but right now the practical question I have is where to start? Because I really, what Tater said about let's take it one step at a time, and what can I do now? And then after I do that, what can I do now? Because I've been jobless, and my peer group and my parents have been asking me, what's the plan? I don't know what the plan is. I just know what I want to do now. So I really want to start.
Parents are highly trained in that question.
Yeah.
I've discovered. They can ask it. They wake up with it. They go to sleep with it. They lose sleep with it. They spend great deals of time conversing with others in their gender range, and gain massive agreement for just how important that question is. And then they also have learned multiple ways of asking it, and not asking it, but covertly asking it. so I know
level,
what you're talking
yeah.
about there. Yes, yeah, it's phenomenal, actually. I like to even watch. I've really been fascinated by watching the degree to which that can take over their entire relationship with you, to where it squeezes pretty much every other life force out altogether.
Yes. Wow. Yes, that's right on. Cause my mom
yeah.
usually.
No. I've seen it, and I've really studied it deeply. And I've even really made it a mission to crack that. You know, to be able to crack into that world, and I've gotten pretty successful at it. But it does take a particular, appreciation for the degree to which it is an entire world reality. It's not just a question, it's an entire world view and reality, you know? And once you can hold it as such, I've found that being able to then be in relationship with it powerfully is much more useful. Because it really isn't a question. They aren't asking it for an answer. It's a whole other thing going on there. You know what I mean? You could give them 50 million answers, probably, but the question
yeah.
will still kind of remain. You know what I mean? So then you kind
yeah.
of think, well, hold on a minute. Like, do they really want an answer to this question? You know,
I stopped answering.
Yeah, there you go. That's step one. That's very good. That's very good. Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, I didn't want to interrupt you. I just wanted to kind of underscore what you're. I have been in your shoes, and I've watched it. And I have learned to master it, you know, and have a global appreciation for it. So I want you to know that is possible. That is a then, and you can actually shift it. just so you know, it is. I've actually seen it occur. Not that that's what you're up.
Yeah.
That's what your mission is at all. But I just want to say that because I think it's useful to say. Because I know it's easy to, you know, kind of see that as an impenetrable energy force. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, anyway, so go on with your question.
No, I think when I start, maybe it's because I haven't been on the call for a long while, I'm really excited to share. But, yeah, that's true. My mom, the first thing she asks me when she gets home, instead of saying, "Hi, honey, how was your day?" it's more like, "Hey, have you got anything about a job? Have you done anything about a job?" So I understand and appreciate the intent behind it. And Michael helped me previously with this as well, of understanding that it's all coming from a, it's just their reality at the moment, and understand and show compassion that they're doing the best they can with what they know and how they see their reality. So I do appreciate that, and I do love my friends very much. So back to the question. Yeah, the question is, I've been wanting to offer my services to where I live as a health coach and on personal development. However, I keep getting stuck at the misconception, which is easy to talk about intellectually, but emotionally it's still there, that I have to prove myself with a degree or with results or with certificates or any other way that it's constantly been rewarded, in, at least in my culture from where I come from. What are the steps I could take to release these excuses or these fears of, I don't have a master's degree in health or nutrition, so why would they listen from me? Or, I don't look as fit as the most fit athlete in the world. Why would they listen from me?
Yeah, it's a classic question. And again, this comes from your parents and your parents' generation, you know. And basically, it's people in younger generation, but don't bother asking those questions anymore. But the older generation, that they're all brainwashed to think degrees mean something. But when it comes down to it, the only thing that matters is whether or not you can help someone else. And if you can, then you're qualified. And if you can't, then you're not qualified, even if you have a degree. You might have 10 degrees. You might have a PhD and a bunch of masters. You might have 2 PhDs. You might be a doctor. But if you can't help someone get results, then you're not really qualified to help them. So I would, if I was you, I would focus on how, in what way specifically can you help somebody out with something they're struggling with, and just start helping those sort of people, or that particular problem. Just start helping somebody. You know, it's really as simple as that. Business and service is as simple as helping someone with a problem. I mean, it's just like fixing a problem, like we were talking about earlier in the call. If you could fix the door, then that's great. You've solved a problem for somebody, yeah, and they're happy about it. Some people fix people's bodies, some people, you know, build skyscrapers, some people, you know, change governments, some people fix the mind, you know, the heart, you know. There's all sorts of things, but how can you help someone else? That's the real question. What can you do to help someone? How can you help someone, Daryl?
Okay, yes.
In what way can you be of service?
And it gives you joy.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Something that you love to do that helps someone else, and they say thank you very much for afterwards.
What is your background anyways? When you say from where you came, where are you coming from?
You there, Daryl?
Did we lose him?
He might. Maybe he dropped off the call. I'll check it. I think he's from Aruba. Well, I'm not quite sure where that actually is. My geography isn't the best ever, but
it's a beautiful place, really.
Yeah. So we've got superheroes from all over the world.
Did we lose him?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
but he'll probably come back on again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question, though.
Or
and,
he went off to help somebody, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'll be back. We've got another question, which we'll take in the meantime.
All right.
We'll talk to Daryl in a minute. Who's this 040 number? Hello? Yes, yes, yes.
Hello, is that me?
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Nicholas. Nicholas from Sydney, Australia.
Oh, great. How's it going?
Hi, good to, this is the first group call that I've been on where I've managed the timing's worked and I've been able to be on it live, so quite exciting.
Great.
Yeah. Cool. So, this 2015 feels like it's been quite an intense year, and I suppose the benefit of that, or what I'm noticing and feeling, is that you know, distortions and things, within the unconscious are, have been coming up. And although that does feel uncomfortable and has felt, painful at times, there's definitely been growth and expansion and lots of learning as well. So, the question that I would like to ask, or the question that I would like to, that I would love awareness around, is, It's around the whole idea of allowing support in, and I'm in the field of supporting people to have clarity around their purpose and to connect around their soul essence. And what I'm noticing when I've looked back over the last two or three years, it's been a bit of a one man show, and I know that in the new paradigm, the new way of being, it's about being. It's about honoring my unique piece in the puzzle, but then allowing myself to collaborate and to co-create with other people. And what I am aware of is that just at some level within me, there's a fear of if I allow people in, there's going to be, I'm going to be manipulated, or I'm going to be taken for a ride, or I can't really trust people completely. And I suppose what the question is what is the deep root of that? Like what, I'd love to get some awareness around what is driving that reaction within me, because I'm aware that I'm creating that. I take responsibility for that. And I'm sensing that at some level energetically, it's like consciously I'm wanting to co-create and allow positive synchronicity to unfold, but at another level, at the unconscious level, I think I'm sabotaging it. So that's kind of my question.
And so what is your question?
So the question is, I would love some clarity around what is it within me that is keeping support away? What is it that is blocking positive synchronicity flowing into my life? Because I'm aware that at an energetic level, there's definitely something going on. So I don't know if there's any insights that you guys might have around being able to allow the flow to move through me, and if there is any sort of, you know, any fears or any limiting beliefs or anything that are obvious around the idea of not allowing support in. You guys, I don't know, may have come across this issue before.
Well, there's no doubt we've come across this issue before. No doubt whatsoever. In fact, it was this issue that had us create the superhero training. Isn't that right, Michael?
That's absolutely right, yeah.
Yes. And
wow.
So you certainly have placed yourself in the proper container to work that one out, no doubt about it. But, you know, my question to you would be, what is it? I would just turn that question right around to you and ask you, and just take whatever answer is that comes up instantaneously, which it will, and tell
yeah.
us what it is.
Yeah.
What's blocking
so what,
you from
what,
allowing people in your life to help you, Nicholas?
And especially if it doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, the most bizarre thing. What comes to mind right away?
Just what comes to mind. Don't think about it. Just
yeah.
whatever just popped up.
Yeah, the first thing, like even when you were asking the question, the first thing that came out was feeling out of control.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing that came.
Out of control in what way?
Okay, so if I'm out of control.
What are you afraid of happening to you? What horrible things do you think are going to happen?
Oh, wow. The thing that came up is that everything will be taken away.
Mm. Well, that's a good
reason
to avoid it.
And what will you be left with then? If everything's taken away, what will you be left with? I mean, what's, like Michael said, the worst possible thing that could happen? Everything's taken away, then what?
That I have to start all over again.
Okay. All right. Is that awful?
It's doable. I mean, if that happened, it would be doable. I mean, I'm sure many people, many people has had that experience and they've been okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
so it's a
trust okay?
thing. I can feel it. Would I be okay?
If you had to start all over again?
Yeah, what comes up when you ask that? There's a part of me that isn't okay, and the reason, the feeling and the sensation attached to that is that I would have failed, or I would have what's the word, like, yeah, that it's like I'll be seen as a failure, that I haven't made it, that I didn't make the right choice.
Yeah. Okay, well, that makes sense. And what's the worst thing that would happen there?
The worst thing there would probably be humiliation.
And what's the worst thing that would happen with that?
Well, the answer that's coming through with that is being isolated, having to... Yeah, not being a part of the community.
Mm-hmm. So the community would isolate you?
That's what's coming through. That's what, yeah.
That's good. Well, that's what you want. And then what's the worst thing with that?
It's interesting. The word that comes here is annihilation or not being able to survive.
Okay, you wouldn't be able to survive. What's the worst thing that would happen there?
Then I'm checking out.
So you die, or is that what it would be?
That's probably the worst case scenario, yeah.
Well, is it? I mean, let's not second guess it here. Let's get right to the core. I mean, is that what it is?
Yeah, sense of survival, sense of Yeah.
Okay. All right, so seems like, you know, that's a fairly strong string.